Hello and welcome to Prestabilious, Excellence in Marketing. I'm Connie Reagan-Green, and this is episode 127. And I guess there is no end in sight because I love sharing information with people that I believe could be helpful. And many times that is the feedback that I get, that it was very helpful. Today, I'm going to talk about facing your fears and having the confidence to do so and to move forward in a way that will serve you. So on a recent call with my mentees, and this is a group that I had done this years ago, and then I stopped. I only was working with high-level mentees in my program, and then I opened it up to everyone again, a different program. It's the Monthly Mentor Program, monthlymentorprogram.com, if that's of interest to you. You can always email me. I'm at ConnieGreenhouse@yahoo.com if you want details that aren't on the monthlymentorprogram.com page. So on a recent call with everyone just a few days ago, I talked about my fears, and I didn't realize it would be so welcomed by people, and they were so excited to hear that I too am human, and I have fears just like everyone else in the world, I believe. And I had people writing to me afterwards, and they said that it seemed like I was fearless. And perhaps I've built up my confidence to the level that I can project fearlessness. I honestly can, but it doesn't mean those underlying fears aren't still there. So I'm going to share some fears with you, and I'm not going to tell you my justification for the fears, because I believe that we do that just because, you know, if I think the world's going to come to an end, how am I justifying that? And probably it won't happen. So I'll just say that. So my fears, I have a fear or fears that people and pets that I'm connected with, that would be family, friends, colleagues, and pets that I have and pets that I know from other people, that they'll become sick, that they will be injured, they will die. And this is a fear that I push aside regularly. I build up my confidence and say, this is a natural part of life, and we must move forward. So that's a justification, and I won't keep doing that. I have a fear about wars and conflicts somewhere in the world, and that they will affect people I will never, ever know, and also people that I love and know and I'm connected with, especially my extended family in Finland and Sweden. I also have a fear about climate change, that it really is as devastating as many people talk about. And also political unrest that can happen anywhere in the world, but more specifically in the U.S. where I live. I have fears around creating a legacy. I took on a legacy mindset a number of years ago, at least a decade ago. And I thought, you know, what I'm writing, and already I was writing books at that time, and I thought this is a legacy for people that know me and people I'm connected with, so family, friends, colleagues again. And I wanted them to have something to look back at years after I'm gone, and we'll all be gone at some point in the future, and to say, look at this. She wrote about something that I'm dealing with or thinking about right now, years later. And the legacy idea and my legacy work, it finally got overwhelming for me, and I was so afraid. I thought, well, what if I'm not sharing things that will be valuable, or what if I'm not doing it in a way where people will even see it or have access to it? So great fear around that. And again, I had to build my confidence to just kind of alleviate the fears and know that whatever I would create, whether it would be a update on social media or an email message, both personally to people or to my overall subscriber list, or my blog posts or my reports or my courses or my products, my programs, my books, that of course I'm creating a legacy, because every word that I write, everything that I think and then put into words or put into audio form or in a webinar, so a video replay, all of that is legacy. Also, I have a fear that people I work with online, they won't feel served. They won't succeed in their business because I didn't serve them in a way that was good for my overall group of people, and also individually, that I didn't personalize it for them. I have a fear that I won't have new ideas, that I won't be able to write another book or create another course or a product or a program because I won't have any more ideas. And I know this one, you know, may sound truly silly, but every time, so right now, I have the new book on marketing. It's going to be out just in a few days now. And I sent it to an editor, which is something I usually don't do, but I did this time, and that took another month, really, to get everything organized. And also, I invited two additional contributors. I had asked one person to contribute, and then I asked two more people. And so that took more time. And as the book comes to the point where I'll have a physical copy in my hands and I'll be able to share it with people all over the world that would like to have the Kindle version or the paperback or the hardcover, I fear that this will be my last big idea. I might have an idea for something smaller in the future, but that's always a fear, that I won't have another important book in my thinking in the future because I won't have an idea for it. I fear that my scripts and screenplays that I'm writing, and I'm new to writing in this way. And I'll give you just a short history of my writing, where I wanted to write years ago, decades ago. And while I was at UCLA is when it started. I was at UCLA, and every semester or quarter, they had quarters there. We had four quarters a year. So every quarter, almost, I would at least two of the four quarters, sometimes three, I guess, I would take a writing class of some type, creative writing or something, screenwriting even. And I wanted to do that. And people around me were having movies of the week. If you go back that far, you remember they used to have the big Sunday night movie or the Saturday night movie, and these were on television, and the movies of the week. And I knew people who wrote television scripts, screenplays, all kinds of things, and they were successful with it. And I wasn't successful. I didn't have a chance to be successful because I didn't do the work. I would do a little bit, but I wouldn't continue with it. And so years later, I reconnected with someone I had known long ago who's very, very successful in his own right and now works with people like myself, people that want to be more involved and are taking our writing more seriously. But my fear is, even though I've been told by people that know what's going on in the Hollywood, you know, world of writing, that age doesn't make as much difference as we might think, I still have that fear that someone would read a script or a screenplay I've submitted and say, how old is this person? And think of me as being old school, which I think of as being a positive. But that's a fear. What if I write and nobody has an interest because I'm writing based on who I've become as I got a little older? So that's a fear. I also fear for individuals that are in situations that might not be safe for them. I'm very close to my main doctor, and I have concierge medical. That means I see this doctor in person at least a couple of times a month. And he has family. He's originally from the Middle East and has family that's still there, specifically his mother and his sister and a few nieces and nephews. And they're having difficulty coming to the U.S. and getting asylum to be able to stay here. And I fear that there will be, you know, more political and, you know, just in general war type of conflict, and that they may not be able to come in time. So these are just some of my fears. I've shared some personal ones, some professional ones, but I want you to know that it's okay to have fear, because the flip side of fear, as I alluded to in the beginning here, is confidence. And every day we must boost our confidence. And down deep, I'm a person of faith. I've always believed, and I always tell everyone around me, that no matter what the issue, everything will work out for the best. It will all turn out all right, even if how it turns out isn't exactly how I pictured and imagined it. That's okay. I believe things work out over time, sometimes faster than other times, and that we move forward in a joyous and positive way. One example I'll give of that was when I wanted to change my life. So it was 2005, and I spent that year from spring of 2005 to spring of 2006 really trying to make that decision. How am I going to change my life? I finally wanted to resign from teaching. I had taught for 20 years. I always knew down deep that I wouldn't teach until I was retirement age. But that year, I thought, you know, I'm ready. The school system, everything has changed, and I need to be in a different environment. And so I wanted to leave teaching. And also I was doing my real estate part-time, unless it was busy in real estate. And then I did it almost as many hours every week as I did my teaching. So I was kind of exhausted from that. But I thought, what will I do? I need something to come along other than a lottery ticket. I taught with people that their plan for retirement, for the most part, and with most people, was in choosing 5 or 6, I don't know how many numbers there are, 5 and a bonus number or something, correct numbers for that week's lottery. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to think that way. And so I was so concerned. I was so worried. It became such a fear that I won't find something new to do, and that I would have to teach until I could retire, and even then I would have to come back as a substitute teacher. The way I saw so many retired teachers, they came back as substitutes several days a week because they needed the money. And I thought, gee, I just don't want that to be me. And in terms of real estate, I just had reached the point where I only wanted to do real estate transactions for myself and for a couple of friends and family members. And so I had to lay it aside. I had to say, okay, so I believe everything turns out for the best, and I believe something will come along. And during that time, so we're talking 2005 into 2006, the only action that I took was to put it out to the universe to ask people that I knew if they had any friends or acquaintances that had changed their life completely, people that had done a certain job or a career for a number of years and then left it behind and did something new. And 2 people I knew people that were in that category. And in each case, it was a couple. And I connected with them. It was very interesting. The one couple, they had both been in the corporate world for 20 plus years. And one day they had a similar awakening like I did. I woke up one day and said, I need a new life. I prayed for a new life, something I could do from home, something I could do in a different way. I wasn't looking for easy. I was looking for different and something that would be more challenging and rewarding and give me time, freedom, and financial freedom. And so this couple, they had worked in the corporate world, woke up one day and decided they just didn't want to do that. They were so exhausted from 60, 70-hour weeks every week. And so one at a time, they had like 90 days in between them. I don't remember who left their job first, but they decided they were going to do something else. And the woman ended up deciding she was going to be a stockbroker and do day trading and all kinds of things with the stock market. And she started training for that, and she would fly to another city somewhere. I remember her going to Denver and Salt Lake City. And she would stay for several days. She'd be in a training program with people in person there. Then she'd come back and put everything into practice. The man wanted to be in real estate. So I was helpful to him. I showed him everything I had been doing over the years with both being a real estate broker and also being a residential appraiser. And we struck up a friendship that was really quite wonderful and amazing. And I saw with them that they were able to change their lives completely. And that gave me hope and confidence. And so slowly, I looked for what my next opportunity would be, and it was the online world. I was an early adopter of technology and
go way back to CompuServe and AOL and Prodigy and all of that, and yet I didn't know that individuals had businesses online. And so in my believing that things turn out all right, I discovered new activities, new things that I could get involved with that would meet these new needs that I felt that I had, my needs and my wants. So think about all of this, face your fears, have the confidence to know that you can overcome anything, and that most of the fears we have won't ever manifest. They won't ever transpire into something tangible, that it's just that, it's a fear. And I'd love to connect with you. I'm on Twitter/X. I'm Connie Green. If you just go to twitter.com/Connie Green, I'm there. My main website is ConnieReaganGreen.com. Reagan is R-A-G-E-N, green like the color, no E on the end, ConnieReaganGreen.com. And let's connect, because I believe there's power in facing your fears and then choosing to have the confidence to know that you can overcome all, everything on the planet you can overcome, and that your confidence, your level of confidence that you'll continue to build over time will help you to move further forward than you ever imagined. And I'm going to give you a book recommendation. It's a book that I'm rereading for the, I don't know how many times, the umpteenth time. It's Atomic Habits, An Easy and Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones by James Clear. And I like his pre-title. It's Tiny Changes, Remarkable Results. And I'm reading this now with the people that I mentor in both of my programs, my high-level, it's the SAMPA program, and then I also have the monthly mentor program that you can take a look at. And the book can be found at connieloves.me/atomic habits. So connieloves.me/atomic habits. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on the book. And I'd love you to look at different sections. What I was sharing with people today was from chapter 11, and then the hardcover, I believe it was on page 147, if I am correct about that. Do I have my notes here? Page 147. Yeah, the chapter 11 summary. That's what I was sharing with people earlier today. All right. I'm Connie Reagan Green, and you are listening to me here on my podcast, Prestavelius, Excellence in Marketing.